Greetings, everybody, and welcome to the second episode of our Kazumatsuri Charlotte Anime Book Club podcast. Today with me, I have Pepe.
Hello.
And a new podcast member, her first podcast, actually, Suika.
Hey.
How about you give a little introductions for yourself?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was supposed to answer those questions. Okay, so I'm Suika, and I'm from the good old United States of America.
Merkle.
And Merka. And my favorite key character is Komari from Little Busters, which comes to as a shock to absolutely no one.
Oh my
And
God.
what, really? She likes Komari? God.
Oh my God.
And then my favorite keywork is also Little Busters, so that's me.
What?
Super cool. All right, and I'm Biscuit Dough. I'm hosting today, so bear with me. All right, cool.
Bear with you every episode, this.
Yeah. So we've kind of started this new thing where it was going to be different people. It may still be different people, but I'm gonna go ahead and give my 30-second recap of this episode. So are y'all ready? Are you excited? All right,
Yay!
let's see if I can do it. This week on Angel Beats 2, Yu wakes up and gets ready for his first day and is shocked to find a handsome stranger in his home, only to find out it's only him and bids adieu to his lolly. The camera gets its close-up, and Yu inadvertently insults Cypher, proceeding to be in check for the rest of the episode. Everybody eats food, then Cerebro Saito detects a new mutant. They locate Shiro Kengo and tell him to stop selling his lewd psychic photos, the pervert. Cypher takes Yu to show him her fucked-up bro with good musical taste, and it's kinda spooky and sad. And then he goes home to his lolly, who ruins the episode again. Yes, you.
Good job. Wait,
That's it.
what did you call the wet guy?
Cerebro
Cerebrosito.
Saito. All
Good
right,
job,
so
Biz.
that
Bravo.
out of the
Yay.
way. That out of the way. A bit rushed today. What'd you guys think of the episode? Since we're talking about
Better than the
it.
first episode.
Yeah, I think it was better than the first episode too. Like, on Kaza
I
with the
agree.
poll, I gave episode 1 a 4. I gave this a 5.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably accurate.
I still gave it a 4 out of 5.
Yeah. Well,
Yeah, 4 out of 5. It's okay.
but yeah,
IGN rates.
like it was really. I thought it was like really exciting the way they, especially the student council job of hunting down other power holders and stuff.
Yeah, it was
Yeah, I
cool
mean,
to
like
see
at the.
that. And go ahead.
No, I was just thinking, like, at the end of episode one, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna keep watching. But at the second episode, I'm like, okay, now I need to, like, actually know what happens. Like, now I'm actually invested in it.
It's so
Whereas with episode
weird.
one, it's just like, things were set up.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like the first episode I watched, and I was super hype. I was like, "Oh man, I want some more of this." And then after the second episode, the first time I watched it, I wasn't feeling it. I'm not gonna lie. The second episode, I was just kind of like,
Okay.
I didn't have the same feeling that I had after the first one, where I was like, "Man, I really want more." But then after I watched it a few more times, I actually got thinking about what some of the stuff meant in the episode. I started to get a bit more excited, and now I have like 10 times more hype for this episode than the first one. So yeah, definitely.
All right.
A big kind of shock to a lot of people this episode is the pacing. I know that was brought up a lot. I figured to go ahead
Yep.
and touch on that too.
A lot of
What did you
people
guys
on the
think about it pacing
forum,
wise?
yeah. A lot of people on the forum thought that they were pacing it too quickly, like they were suddenly giving way too much feels and stuff.
And I mean, I think that's a fair thing to be
It
cautious
is a fair
about
thing.
after previous works. But, and I kind of felt that way too at first. I was like, oh, because Angel Beats 2. I mean, I already made that joke, right? Everyone's making that joke.
Yeah, everyone's making that joke.
But when you look at it, this was paced like one of the really good Angel Beats episodes. You know what I mean? Like the fact that almost half
Yeah.
of the episode was strictly based, and I mean, it even starts from the get-go. Like the whole episode really focuses really hard on the same kind of idea that we'll get into that later. But I thought that was really good.
Like my comment on the forum was that I think the pacing was okay because I honestly think they're not preluding it to a bigger story. So like this
Yeah,
is just a
definitely
side
agree.
story to get the point of the whole setting of the whole power holders struggle. So and I think they did that very well.
And touching on now a lot, too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Now.
I'm a no-no.
No-no.
I noticed some people on the forum were surprised about Nao-Nao's change in character, like maybe two or three people in the forum. But like, I have been following I have been following the 4coma, and I have been listening to the voice samples everywhere, and like, yeah, I expected this. I know she's a glutton. I know she's like, she gets super hype about things she likes, and she's also very, very serious. So I like that, her personality isn't just a single archetype that you can call. She's not any of the Derrys.
She's that not you one dimensional.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like how, I think Kanna was to make just a new like, so for much. Her. Kanna was like, there's so much character in her, almost too much. And I was like, I agree, but I don't really dislike it at all. I think it's kind of fun.
Why can't my 2D girls stay 2D? I've got to be able to put them in a category.
No.
Yeah, I like how much kind of, there's a lot to her. And I think it may be kind of jarring at first, but I think it'll get better. And there's going to be kind of a balance somewhere down the line.
Yeah, probably.
I guess to kind of play into the fact that they did kind of characterize Nao so much in this episode does kind of also go back to the issue of pacing. I felt like the idea of pacing is, I think some people kind of have the wrong mindset with this series, thinking along the lines of something that is kind of like a VN length and it works in these kind of character arcs and stuff like that. But they need to remember that Charlotte is not really about character arcs. They're trying to just give you backstories and things, and it's just like Nao says, as kind of part of her character development, as she specifically says, well, it's not really, there's no reason to keep it a secret, right? So let's just go ahead and get it out of the way so that you know what's going on.
Like, because she's very serious and very open about it, like, she feels that she needs to tell you about it. And, I mean, like, we already see she's very strategic. She knows Yu's weak points already, like how she says, how your sister is having such a hard time with little money, so you should help us so you can get more money. And it's like, oh, she's pretty good.
And you need, like, an entire collection of Nao smug faces and gifts.
I absolutely love the way that she taunts the archery club guy. Like, I cannot describe how much I love that part.
Oh yeah, Kengo.
Yeah.
I guess this is like our
Monster of the Week.
Monster of the Week. That works. Monster of the Week.
It was all a mask.
So about that guy. I mean, so they were able to hunt him down thanks to the proper use of all their powers, but I was surprised that after they cornered him, they didn't bring him into Hoshinoumi. They just said, stop using your powers, bitch.
Like, I felt like that was because of his age. Because we find out, you know, he's like kind of a teacher, I guess. Like,
well,
a club lead.
He's a senpai.
Yeah. And
so, yeah, maybe.
We know that the kids lose their powers later. So I felt like that was probably kind of one of the reasons they were just kind of telling him, dude.
Yeah, he probably figured it wasn't worth it. Like, he's going to lose them soon enough anyways.
Yep. Okay. He's just like, dude, stop using your powers before the men in black show up and dissect you or whatever. That got heated pretty quick. That escalated fast, man. I wasn't expecting that. Like, dude pulls an arrow on a chick. Like, come on.
Actually, I also really like that part because it shows that the characters aren't the characters in the series aren't as innocent as in the other key series. Like, I felt like in other key series, many of the characters, even protagonists, antagonists, even though they do bad stuff, they're a bit innocent about it. But this guy, he just got an arrow and pointed it at her face. He was ready to shoot her down. And I was like, whoa.
And he did.
And he did.
He let go. And I don't know if it was on purpose or in shock.
Yeah.
Dude, let's go with the arrow. And it's like you immediately get put into the scene where, thank God, Jojiro was quick enough to go ahead and grab that thing, because, whew.
Just like last episode, we're like, oh, what would happen if the bus driver didn't survive? Here, what would happen if Jojiro didn't catch that arrow? I was like,
I guess we can talk about Jojiro a little bit.
Yeah.
The hero.
Yeah.
The still kind of got a little bit of his Sunohara out today, being Clannad from the movie and hopping in to grab those sandwiches like a boss.
But as expected, he's very reliable.
Mm-hmm. He's a bro. What'd you think about Jojiro, Suika?
Well, I think he's definitely like one of the more interesting key sidekick kind of characters, because, like, I don't know, it's weird, because, like, one second he'll be, like, this, I don't know how to describe it.
One,
it's like,
one second he's his head is bleeding, not caring.
And then the next second he's, like, super serious.
Yeah.
That's basically kind of what I was going for. Like, there's not even really a balance yet. It's, like, so all over the place. Like, he can go from like, bleeding and be like, yeah, and, like, just being funny, I guess. And then the next second, he'll be the serious character. And the switch is just too fast right now.
When he's being silly, it's, like, he's so humbled about how shitty his power can be sometimes. Because he's just, like, he'll, like, just do the most ridiculous things and just brush it off. Like, no, it's fine.
He's used to it.
He kind of reminds me, this is going to raise some eyebrows and make people hate me, but he kind of reminds me of, like, he's like Koizumi Tier from the Hardy series.
Yeah, that's true.
That's where I like
to
put him. Or he's, like, kind of silly, but not really. I don't know.
Like, serious when he has to be.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's a good comparison, I think.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, I guess we should quickly mention, Cerebrosaita. No, just kidding. He actually has a name. The wet guy has a name. He's Kumagami. And this wasn't revealed in the anime. This was on the Charlotte website.
Yeah, fun fact. He might still be Kumagami Saito. I'm just going to say that now. But I guess he might not be our Saito. So we've decided to start the hunt for the Saito, and we're going to find him one of these days.
Yep. So, I mean, we don't know anything about him, but I guess we'll see more about him. And maybe learn more about him. I hope we learn more about him, because I'd be disappointed if we don't learn anything about him.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah, he's...
You don't just have a guy dash in, covered in water, put a drop on the map, like, oh, they're over there, and then run out, and then not tell you anything about
him.
It's
strange power, too. It's
yeah, actually. It's very convenient, his power, I gotta say.
Yeah, really, like, how did he even discover that he had that power, anyways? That's what I want to know.
That's a good point. I don't know.
Like, you need to be in a really specific situation to figure out, oh, this is what my power does.
And you'd have to, like, catch the other power users in the act to realize to make point to make two and two together to see, oh, the people I see in my visions are people with powers.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I guess to go ahead and move on with the idea of, like, hunting down people with the powers, I guess we can talk about Nao's whole backstory and, like, this whole second half of this episode, which kind of interesting.
Very interesting.
I found myself genuinely, like, interested and just all in it. Like, this was a good Angel Beats episode level of intrigue. It was actually very well presented.
Which is why I think it is a pacing issue, yeah.
Yeah, I think it did a good job of, like, the combo task of both covering Nao's backstory and kind of covering the setting.
And covering Nao's personality.
Yeah, because it, like, it raised the stakes, but it also talked about her and why she is the way she is. So it's kind of two birds with one stone.
Yeah, actually.
Why she likes Ziendo.
Why she likes Ziendo. And why she's super serious about her work. Like, you can see her motivation to actually help all the other power users because she has
experience. I absolutely love how this entire scene is just, like, just breaking Yu's balls, man. Because he makes that stupid statement. Because he's being, you know, himself. He's
being
all
smug Yu
the whole time. Until there that one scene where he finds out that he said the wrong thing. You done fucked up, Yu. And then, like, the rest of the episode, he's like a little puppy, man.
Yeah, that's
pretty true.
And so people are like, oh, it's such a sudden change. I'm just like, no, I think he's biting his tongue a lot more because he realizes he's such a dick. I thought that was actually good.
I love the way you put it, yeah. It's once he sees it, I guess reality just smacks him in the face. Especially with the fact that the powers might be genetical and his sister might actually get powers and his sister might be in danger. Oh.
Yeah, and he immediately, when he gets home, he's just kind of like, shit, man, what if I got captured and then Ayumi got in bad heat or whatever? Like, it definitely hit home for Yu.
Mm, yeah. If anything, I think that was the biggest point they were trying to make in the second half of the episode.
Yep. It's definitely, like, it draws a comparison between him and Nao because it's like, she says brother, he thinks sister, and, like, I think we're kind of also adding to this idea that Yu cares a lot about the family that he has.
I wonder if, like, siblings is going to be kind of the theme of this one. Because, I mean, with, like, Little Busters, you had friendship. With Clannad, you had family. Is this one just going to be, like, the siblings key series?
That's an interesting take. Like, on the forum, we're having other theories about the theme, and people are arguing about it. But, yeah.
That's actually interesting, actually.
I don't know. Like, I could see that.
Because that is different.
Yep.
To have siblings as a focus.
It's not like some people said where it's like, this is the first series where key people have had siblings. It's not the first, but it's never really been this prominent.
That's true.
I like that. So we're going to find out. Definitely something to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
I guess one thing about the brother's powers, I guess tying this into what I said last week about the powers being related to your personality, sort of. The brother can control air vibrations, which really suits his big music interest. And, like, I feel that Nao's power might have been driven by her whole goal to escape. Like, I would not be surprised if she used her power just to escape. Like, and she developed that power because she needed to escape.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't know. I don't know if they'll touch up on this, but I think
it's almost
that could
like
be
it's
one reason
like
why.
Instinctive, like, or like a survival ability.
Yeah, maybe
something like that. Maybe. Yeah, that would make a lot of sense.
I like that.
Like it definitely. I'm confident in saying the powers aren't random here. They're definitely related to something that the person themselves thinks about.
Yeah.
Which gives a big question about Kumagami, but anyway.
We're going to find out that Jojiro apparently had to, like, escape from a burning building, so he got hyper running speed.
Yeah. He had to save a cat on the way.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right, so I guess we pretty much all kind of got our little pieces in about the actual episode content as far as, like, kind of plot pieces and stuff are concerned, but let's talk about interesting observations. What did you observe this episode, Pepe? Anything interesting stand out to you?
Yeah. Actually, it's the same thing about last episode where the student council guy didn't notice Nao. This time, it's like the archery club members didn't notice Nao just sneaking up on the archery club guy and just sticking the camera in his face. So I thought that was pretty odd. And while watching it together with the other members, someone else noticed that. But I guess there was enough time for her to kind of wait till the other guys left and run in. But, yeah, I thought that was an interesting observation, yeah.
I was just kind of viewed it as like, oh, they just saw someone there who wanted to talk to him or whatever, and then whenever they left, she went and did her invisibility thing.
Yeah. Because, I don't know, like, every time she uses her powers, I feel like more than just one person cannot see her, but I don't know. Anyway. I know it's false, but... It's a bit odd. It's a bit odd, yeah. How the rest of the world reacts to her powers, yeah.
It's kind of hard to animate that kind of thing, though, because you're not seeing it from just one person's perspective, so...
Yes.
If she's only hiding herself from one person, it's hard to...
Yes.
...really kind of get that across.
Very hard.
You can also play in, you know, hey, we just squeezed in an entire day's worth of content in 20 minutes or something, so... Maybe there's a couple minutes in between the two things. Another interesting observation that a lot of people caught was in Nao's brother's room. We had a little shout out to Angel Beats with Sad Machine and Flower Gas Melody posters on the wall.
Sad Machine is a band.
Yeah, which a lot of people noticed were in Iwasawa's flashbacks in Angel Beats.
Yep.
The same bands, kind of a fun little multiverse thing going on there.
If anything connects the two, that's probably it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the first time we've actually had real connections between two key works.
Besides just Key Coffee. Maybe.
Yeah, besides just Key Coffee or seeing a Botan plushie.
Yeah.
Clearly they're in the same universe. Because Charlotte is Angel and, Beats, right?
Everyone was dead the whole time.
Yeah. Speaking of crazy predictions like Charlotte being Angel Beats. Does anyone have any fun predictions? I guess we should start wrapping it up here. For the prediction block, I guess it's kind of... You can talk about something that may have just come to you as, like, the series as a whole, or what you think's going to happen in this next episode. things like that. I know last week I mentioned that I felt like the school was a little bit more nefarious than it lets on. And I think that there were things in this episode that kind of support that theory, personally, because we got to look at this backstory of Now and, like, these bad peoples, these men in black running around and snatching people up for scientist purposes to pick them apart and stuff. We kind of got a little bit more in detail with that. But the interesting part is they talked about how everything was set up to look like it was normal, right? Mm. Everything was set up to seem normal. And I feel like, well, if that didn't work and Now disappeared, then wouldn't they want to try to build a school that looks even more normal and try to, like, push that even further? Mm. And then you also have the fact that whenever they went to go see Kengo over there shooting arrows, it was obviously a really dangerous thing because you don't know what kind of powers these people have.
Yep.
So... Yeah. How better to round them up or to take care of them than to send out other people with powers that you're, like, afraid of and stuff and put them on the front lines, you know what I mean?
Damn it, Viz.
It's like the wars are fought by the politicians, but the real fighters are the kids, right? I felt like that was a very interesting pieces of information.
I am amazed. Wow. That's really good.
I thought
that way. Yeah. All right.
I'm just gonna stick to that one.
Okay. All right. So my observation last week was that the school wouldn't be like an X-Men school where everyone knows they have powers, which is pretty much true. Yeah. So like people were surprised when Jojo used his powers, and everyone was thinking, "Oh, is that a bomb?" But the cafeteria lunch lady was all like, "Nah, it's just Jojo again."
Or something. Just like really.
So Jojo. Yeah. So some people don't know the existence of power, some people do. So it's my prediction is kind of correct. All right, for this episode's prediction, I predict that Now's brother will not be saved. He will be forever in that state. And I think it's very sad, but I predict that he's not the main focus. And I also think it will be good for the story because it kind of hammers in the point the seriousness of the situation they're in. Because, like, if they suddenly save him with a miraculous Deus Ex Machina at the end, that would be kind of disappointed, yeah. So that's my prediction.
Kind of have one that it's not really a prediction, but I did want to touch on, like, how genetics has kind of become a new... I know you mentioned earlier, it's kind of become a new player in the series, right? Because it's been kind of repeated now through this episode that brothers and sisters are more prone to have powers.
I do think that supports the theory, though, of that mysterious guy that we saw in the first episode that Ayumi remembered. I do think that's kind of supports the idea of him actually being the older brother, though, if he really did have powers, like they were kind of implying.
I wanted to draw attention to the fact that in these flashbacks, we didn't see Now's father. It was a single mother raising the two children. And we didn't actually, like, a lot of people could probably just kind of brush it off as not being really all that interesting. But I think it's an interesting point. It's just an observation, right? That there's no dad. And if we have the Otosakas who have this kind of fuzzy memory about their family in the past, and now we also have... You know, Tomori's don't really have this... And I think it's just kind of weird. Kind of interesting little connection there. But I wanted to touch on the fact that maybe we don't really know how long people with powers have been around, I guess. Like, it hasn't really been stated for sure, like, if this is the first generation of people that have abilities. But, like, I guess maybe it you could play into the idea that some of the parents might have had some sort or some form of abilities, and maybe they're a little bit weaker. Just kind of playing into the whole genetics idea that it's kind of an advancement of human beings or something. Suika, you did something super cool this week, and I think you should totally promote it.
Me? Okay.
Yes.
So yeah, I have a YouTube channel, and it's the same name as I have now here, Suika Shoujo, and I recently did a cover of Bravely You, because apparently the instrumental is already out, which I had no idea, so go check that out. I worked hard on it.
It was pretty good, yeah.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I was amazed that the end part was harder than the middle part where you have to sing all in one tone. Like, I actually struggled more with the ending than I did with the middle part.
Oh, okay.
It's also got Leah.
Yeah.
But alright, I guess with that, we're pretty much good to go ahead and wrap it up. So, thank you both for joining me. Thank you so much. It's pretty fun. I like these a lot.
Yeah.
I guess same time next week. We'll see. We'll see who we got next week. Maybe Aspie will be back. Who knows?
Bye bye.
Next week, Suika's gonna host for us.
Oh wow! Okay, can't wait.
All right.
So that's gonna be a lot of awkward pauses. Can't wait for that.